This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
What is up, everyone? Welcome to DC Standum, your guided tour of the DC multiverse. I'm your host, Mike Cicchini, the editor-in-chief of DennyGeek.com. And each week, I'm bringing you discussions with writers, artists, actors, and experts covering everything from DC Comics, DC TV shows, to the big screen of the DCEU. This episode, we're zooming in on Batman One Dark Night. It's the recently completed miniseries and newly released graphic novel written and drawn by Jock. This book is a blast. It's basically just one very difficult night in Batman's life. And the thing that kind of sets that apart, though, is that there's this real sense of motion that carries all the way through the book. You really get to feel like you're exploring Gotham City with this one. It's a lot of fun. I actually really enjoyed it. There's all kinds of like cool, I don't know if I was imagining it, but we talk about this a bit in the interview too, where there's like these kind of like 70s neo-noir influences to it. It's really neat, but you don't need to hear about that from me. Why don't we let the book's writer and artist tell us all about it instead?
So we're talking about Batman One Dark Night. There's one word that keeps coming up in my mind when I'm reading this book, and that word is propulsive. There's a sense of motion that carries like from page one to the final shot of Batman like swinging off as the sun rises. And I want to know how you kind of conceive of a book like that and keep that sense of momentum going over the course of how many pages is this? 120?
Yeah, a little more, but yeah, about 144, something like that. I'm really glad you
about
said
144. Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah,
sure. I'm really glad you said that though, because that word was literally like in the first line of the pitch. Was like, I want to tell a straightforward, propulsive action story. I tried to choose a story that was fairly direct, fairly straightforward, because I've not done a whole lot of writing. I wanted to choose something simple, I guess, you know, and that was the propulsive element. He's got to get from one side of Gotham to the other in this amount of time. There we go. That's propulsion right there. So, you know, I used a couple of things as like the time stamp, you know, as it gets closer to dawn. EMP, the villain, has like this kind of energy thing that was running out as we go. As they get closer and closer to Blackgate Prison, there's all these little pointers that, you know, he better get there in time, otherwise we're in trouble. So I definitely try to utilize those deliberately.
A lot of Batman stories can be described as cinematic as well. But the pacing of this feels particularly like an action movie because of that propulsive momentum quality that you're able to capture on the page. Were you thinking in cinematic terms, or were there any like movie inspirations that you were looking to as you were composing some of the book?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely was. I love movies as much as I love comics, and visually I was kind of taking some inspiration from 70s American cinema, probably. You know, the city's very dirty and graffiti and, you know, garbage everywhere. French Connection, maybe. A little bit of The Warriors is in there because of all the various gangs that are honing in on Batman. And the larger format allowed me to kind of draw on a larger scale, which is naturally cinematic as well. So yeah, it was in there for sure.
I like that you brought up 70s New York cinema. And this is something that I just have as a connection in my mind. It might not even really be a thing, but all those movies feel very hot.
Yeah.
You know, like Mean Streets is like a hot, it's like it always feels like everybody's sweating on a humid New York day. Taxi Driver feels like everybody is sweating on a humid New York day. Now, French Connection set in the dead of winter, but that's
sure,
fine. Like, that's fine. It's still the spirit of the thing. The Warriors, that's a summer night movie, right? This is a summer night Batman story.
Yeah, it's a heat wave. Tensions are on edge already. The city's cooking a little bit. You know, it's a little bit sparks of violence and bits and pieces are already kind of kicking off. and then EMP, our villain, then
poor
escapes.
Guy.
I know. Well, good. I'm glad. Yeah, because I was talking about this earlier. It's like, you know, he's our villain, but actually he's quite a tragic kind of character, really. And I liked trying to make the setting for all that just as extreme as I could. And a really hot summer's night just seemed to make a lot of sense, you know, that it's already a nightmare for everyone and it's about to get a lot worse, you know.
Can you talk about the conception of EMP a little bit?
He was in the first scene that I imagined. When I started the story, I was thinking like a kind of night in the life. Or what does a night in the life of Batman look like? A Monday night. You know, it's probably different to our Mondays, right? And I just pictured him sort of, you know, chasing this unknown villain, and at the time that had kind of wisps of energy as it got more intense, and it built from there really. And so he became kind of like a catalyst for what the story was. And he's a volatile, you know, unstable, kind of dangerous element that Batman's got to figure out whilst he's basically abandoned in the middle of Gotham with none of his toys. You know, everything's gone. He's getting, like you say, he's getting relentlessly attacked again and again and again and again. And what's going to break him, you know? And spoiler is like, well, it's Batman. You know, it's going to take an awful lot to break him. And who is he when he's right at breaking point? And that's when you hit him with another wave of some crazy business, and he still somehow gets up, you know, wraps his makeshift kind of cowl around his head and puts his fists up, you know.
I love the maps.
Sorry, I'm not like the amount of questions, like the amount of questions about the maps. Like, hey, I love that you put maps in there. Thanks. Hey, those maps, they were great. Like, thanks.
Like, I thought I was being clever.
I'm laughing because I'm pleased because they were actually talking to one of your earlier points. I was really, I wanted to make it as clear as possible just for the reader to establish the geography. You know, one of the things that really annoys me in movies as well as comics is when you don't get a sense of the geography of the action. And I really wanted to make it as clear as possible what was going on, where he was, and where he needed to go by a certain point. So the maps were like, you know, they've just made sense to me.
We're going to come back to the maps.
All right.
But you're right, because the two hardest things to convey, and it's something that will jump out from time to time, is the geography that mm-hmm. action is taking place over.
Yep.
And that's even harder in comics to yep. some degree, probably. Yep. I'm not an artist, but the other is pacing, is time.
Mm-hmm.
And this story very much feels like it takes place over the allotted amount of time.
That's great. Thank you. That's really nice to hear. Yeah, you know, there are sort of there's little craft things you can do to make the geography clear. Like I love pulling out to a long shot where you see a character and he's looking down on a street and you see what that scene is. Like, I just think that's a really sort of, in film as well, a really classy move where you just go, oh, okay, I see what's going on, and then you can go back into the action and tear it up a little bit. But if you do that without the establishing scene, you know, it's like, it's all noise, you know, and I was really keen to try and get a sense of location and yeah, you know, kind of the geography that sort of made sense, you know.
Good, so back to the maps.
Yeah. The important bit.
I know I love it, and I imagine other readers love it, because it's not something we usually see in comics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the actual geography of places like Metropolis and Gotham City is understandably ambiguous.
Sure.
And here there is specificity that we don't usually get. Are there references, you know, for the actual geography of Gotham City that you had to adhere to when you were creating this stuff?
There is/isn't a specific map, I drew the map, and my editor Chris was like, I'm just gonna have to like check this, you know, that it's okay. But then I never heard anything again. And it's a black label book, which means that I could take a few. You know, kind of creative kind of licenses if wanted to. Most of the gang names are all kind of canon. They existed before the story.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I was going to ask about the gangs.
Yeah, yeah, they're also relevant to, you know, sort of crime bosses, various kind of factions throughout the city. But yeah, the map I found as a basis does kind of exist. When I noticed, because Batman has to get from Arkham Asylum to Blackgate Prison, and not on the official map, like, Arkham Asylum is in the top left and Blackgate is in the bottom right, and for a comic page that's perfect. So I didn't really need to change anything. Like, if there were opposite ends, I probably would have flipped it, but it was absolutely fine.
What's next for you?
I'm going to take a break. I finished this just before coming out to the States. I've been out here for 3 weeks. I've done a few shows out here. I'm going to go home, take a couple of weeks off, regroup, and we're talking about possibly doing more. So
great.
Watch this space. Yeah,
can't wait to see it.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks so much.
Cheers.
And that is it for this week's DC Standum. Keep it right here for more exclusive interviews and special surprises from the world of DC TV and movies. And of course, as we saw with this episode, DC Comics, make sure you're subscribing to us wherever you're listening right now. Don't forget to check out our web home at denigeek.com, where you can find all our DC coverage. Go straight to denigeek.com/DC for that. Drop me a line on Twitter. I waste, well, less time than I used to. I'm at Way Out Stuff. Let me know what you want to hear about in upcoming episodes. But what the cool kids are doing is they're following DC Standum on Twitter and Instagram. That's at DC Standum. Give those a follow. Maybe tell us what you want to hear about in upcoming episodes over there instead. And hey, don't forget, we also have a Marvel show. You can also listen to Marvel Standum wherever you're listening to this show right now. Check it out. Sometimes, actually, pretty much all the time when we're talking about Marvel, we do our Standums live. So make sure you're following Den of Geek on Twitch. That is twitch.tv/denofgeektv. This has been DC Standum on the Den of Geek Network. Until next time, I'm Mike Cecchini. And remember, folks, we stand together.